All right, church, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, we want to welcome you on out to our midweek Bible study fellowship. We sure want to thank you ahead of time for those of you who made it to church. Praise the Lord, physically assembling with the saints last Sunday. Brother Giovanni, he prayed, thank you for not forsaking the assembling. Amen. It's a blessing when you are a part of a home church and you call it your home church, you're a servant there. Don't forsake any time when we come together to open up that Word of God, to hear it taught, hear it preached, to continue to keep us minding on Christ, serving our Savior, doing the best we can. Amen. We're just going to go over some quick announcements before we get started. As usual, guys, we want to let you know our calendar tab for tomorrow. Want to remind you, friendly reminder, Soul Winning Sunset Market, 5:30 to 6:45. 5:30 to 6:45. If it's not raining, please try your best to join us. I'm going to be here at the church at 5 o'clock. As you guys can see, my wife is going to be MIA because of her foot. She's going to rest for a couple of days. Hopefully, she'll feel a little better come Saturday. But I just want to provoke any of our sisters, like we sung tonight. Sisters, will you join us? Sisters, will you pray for us while we try to preach the word? Will you have a heart too, sisters and brother, to work for Jesus? As you guys know, my wife and I have been doing our best to provoke you more this year to serve your Savior. I've been showing you some verses. Let me show them again to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and 25. You guys should know this by now. Let's read together. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to... Somebody out there? What does it say? Good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So if you don't see somebody here at church, God already told you, that's the manner of some. But don't let that become your manner. In the meantime, you need to continue to do your best to provoke your fellow members. Let's love God and let's serve Him. Let's work for God. Remember the next verse I showed you, Ephesians chapter 4. The Holy Spirit of God, after you got saved, He sealed you. He gave you a pastor, He gave you a Bible, and He gave you instructions on how to learn how to serve Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints. What does it say next, church? For the work of the ministry. Every single one of you has a duty. Every single one of you has a responsibility. Every single one of you has a gift to work for Jesus Christ. And just like you get hired at that job and somebody trains you on how to manage the cash, somebody trains your route when you're doing your deliveries, here you have your pastor attempting to train you, the member, to serve the head of the church, the Savior, and going out there and doing something for Him. And then being an edification in your home church with gifts He's given you. One more on this topic, 1 Corinthians 15. Remember this, I showed you all the way to the last verse, Look with me up on the screen. The Bible says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What does it say, church? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So if you have your day off tomorrow, or if you're not working, would you please work with me? Let's go out there soul winning together. I'm going to need some help because my wife, she's hurting. Somebody back up your pastor in love to go soul win downtown just for about an hour. Guys, that's all it is, just for about an hour. And then this Saturday, friendly reminder, it's not on our calendar. These are just, if you will, in-house announcements. But I just want to remind you guys that we're going to be going downtown to Imperial Beach to do some door-to-door knocking with Brother Angel and his church, Bible Believers Baptist of Imperial Beach. So I will let you know Friday the timing so we can carpool together and we can go down there and we can serve. Because remember what Jesus said, that the world is the field. So in the part of the world that you're laboring in, right now your home patch is Oceanside. This is the field. And it's always a blessing to go help serve in another part of the field in another little patch. And that Saturday is going to be down there in Imperial Beach. So if you can, join me. Hopefully, Katie feels a little better by then. Join us as we just want to support another Christian wanting to work for Jesus, guys. He's a young guy. He needs some help, and we just want to be a friend to him and say, brother, we got your back. Let's win souls to Christ. We want to support you, so please let me know. And then, of course, this Sunday at church, if you guys can join us and keep fellowship in there. Here we have our study blogs, if you will. You can look them up anytime to edify you. Live stream links, you guys already know. Social media, we got our podcast. We have YouTube. We have Facebook. If you need prayer, would you do me a favor? Submit it. And then church, every so often, would you do me a favor? Just click on your church website. click on that tab, guys, we got some prayer requests. These are people from around the world. They send them, and they just want a little church like ours to be in prayer. So there you have it. Somebody submitted a prayer, Irina. And unfortunately, guys, she's going through a difficult divorce. She's asking you tonight, whoever you are here listening to me, if you can pray for them. She's also asking prayer for her mother, Anna, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. She's her only caregiver. She really appreciates if you take time to pray for her. So tonight, before we get started, we're going to pray for her. And then also, this brother here, you got a lot. So if you haven't remembered from last Sunday, you got enough to pray for on that one, all right? So how about that? There's a lot to pray for. So guys, just know our little church is making an impact. And Jesus can hear our prayers. And we want to pray for people. So guys, do me a favor, pray for people. And then last but not least, church, you guys already know, we don't pass the hat. We don't preach tithing. You give out of obedience to God, whatever you purpose on your heart. You can give any time financially to your church for the church needs you have here. God promised you that he'll provide your need according to his riches. Just know, proportionally, you sow sparingly, you're going to reap what? Sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap what? Bountifully. So just make sure that your heart's right. Make sure you're giving with joy, and you can take care of giving to your church anytime. You got a PayPal QR code back there. You got the box, and you can do it online PayPal as well on the church website. All right. So those are some prayers. Last minute quick announcements before we get started. Do me a favor. You can make your way to Acts chapter 28 in your Bible. You can already open up your Bible and get there. Acts chapter 28. And turn there with me as we get ready. I just want to remind you guys that I made an announcement that I was in the process of ordering prayer cards. So by the grace of God, I had them finalized. I order them. I'm going to get 500 English prayer cards and 500 Spanish prayer cards. So that way, whenever you're out there going through a drive-thru or at the bank or at the store, so that way you don't have necessarily the awkward feeling of giving a big bulky flyer. Guys, a little card. And all you got to say is this: hi, before I go, our church loves praying for people. I just want to leave you this prayer card. Just slide it on the desk and say, all you got to do is scan it with your smartphone. And then you just submit a prayer request, and there you have it. And then on the back, it has a prayer for salvation, has some Bible verses. So you're knocking out two birds with one stone. You're letting the world, we love you, we want to pray for you. And on the back, if you want to get saved, here's what you can do: call upon God. So guys, utilize the materials that I'm providing for you to help be a witness. And then, Lord willing, if people do get saved and the Lord puts it on their spirit, they come to church here, we can grow a little bit more and do a little bit more for the Lord. So guys, just keep that in prayer. I'm looking forward to them arriving so we can start using them. I'm excited for them because I am looking forward to just, man, handing out little cards, and they're going to be awesome. So on the church website, yes, for those of you who may be asking, I thought it was just in English. I put the Spanish translation on that tab so they can be edified. How about that? So Spanish, English, let's keep those people in prayer that one day we'll reach out to. Amen. All right. Acts chapter 28. Hope you have your Bible open there. I hope you guys' week's been going well. And it sure is good to come to church for the midweek service to get refreshed from everything going on in this world. Amen. All right, church, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and begin to read together. I hope you have your Bible open, following along with me now in Acts chapter 28, verse number 1. As you guys know, my tradition, every time we start a new chapter, I like to read through the whole chapter so we can get a feel for it, and then we're going to go through our notes together. So let's start now. Acts chapter 28, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds." By the way, church, that's repentance, changing your mind. "All right, and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius laid sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose name was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us far as Appii, Forum, and the three taverns. And when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. How about that? Verse 16, if you're following along. When he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, but there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning the sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So the Hebrews are just telling Paul of Christianity. Here's what everybody's saying. Everybody is speaking against it. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And in a nutshell summary, church, that is the reality of evangelism. Some will believe, and some will not. But do we keep working? We keep working. Look at what it says, 25. When they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, because they were Jews, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And the church stopped. No, that's not what it says. The church continues. The work never stops. That is tonight's message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, once again, I come before your throne of grace. I need the help of the Holy Ghost to fill me once again with the ability to teach this Bible just as it is, the Word of God. But our members need help this evening to believe the Bible just as it is, the Word of God, so that the Bible will continue to effectually work in us, to change us, to renew our hearts and our minds, to cleanse us, but most of all, to restore within us joy, happiness, love. When all the world gets to us, when our feelings get the best of us, when our sins seem to be too heavy for us to care, tonight may we find hope and courage and examples to follow from what we're going to read tonight in your Holy Bible. So God, I thank you for every soul that is here tonight. I love them dearly, but I know you love them more. And God, I need your spirit to touch their spirit and to provoke them to love Jesus, to get on fire for Jesus, to serve him, God, this year more than they have before. Tonight, God, I just want to dedicate this message into your hands. Wherever I have a human error, may your Holy Spirit still take the word of God and put it in there where they need it. Tonight, we commit this work into your hands. Lord, you are welcome to fellowship with our small gathering. And Lord, we know that you can still do mighty things where hearts are yielded to you. So God, I pray that we're all yielded to you this evening. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's do a quick overview of how we got here to Acts chapter number 28. This is the last chapter in the book of Acts. And as you guys can see, the church never stopped. The work never stopped, even though our apostles have since passed on to glory to heaven. As of now, I would like to remind you that generally speaking, the dates given for the time of the history of the Acts is around AD 29 to AD 67. I want to just go ahead and start giving you a quick overview of how we got to Acts 28 and a quick summary of each chapter to stir your heart, and then we'll come back to Acts chapter 28, Lord willing, to get a little bit from here. So just forbear with me now as we read a little bit of our notes. Generally speaking, Acts chapter 1 through 8 covers the building of the New Testament church with the outpouring of God's Spirit, empowering the apostles and disciples in Acts chapter 2. Mainly Jews were the initial audience and recipients of the message of the gospel. And around Acts chapter 8 onward, Gentiles were also being reached with evangelism, you know, soul-winning outreach through the ministry of Peter, James, John, Philip the evangelist, and the other disciples. And then from Acts chapter 9 all the way to the end, one of the greatest conversions in history took place with a Jewish Pharisee whose heart was hardened against Jesus. Remember that this man, Saul of Tarsus, he had once time in his life, he hated Christians, regardless of their sex, regardless if they were male or female. And remember that this man, Saul of Tarsus, he desired to destroy and waste New Testament Christianity before it spread throughout the world. But suddenly, he also met Jesus personally and received him as the Lord inwardly. And God's Spirit created within that man, that is Saul of Tarsus, a new man. And then from that time later, as we move forward, he became a lover of men versus a persecutor of men. He too went from obtaining letters from the Jewish Sanhedrin to kill Christians to one who received letters from Jesus Christ to help Christians and to save sinners. In this last chapter of Acts, we will observe that Jesus Christ honored his promise that he gave Paul concerning his personal dispensation of work for his master. You can read that in Acts 9, 15 through 16, where Jesus told Ananias, "I chose Paul for a work that I have for him. I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." You can read that on your own time. So from then until now, in Acts chapter number 28, from his conversion, and Acts 28, generally the time frame is about AD 60 to 61 by the time that he gets to Rome. Because remember, he's on his way to Rome. Here we have his first imprisonment, AD 61 to 63. He would write the following while he's in jail: Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. And then generally, it said, we're not sure, it wasn't until around AD 67 through 60, that's when he finally was martyred for his faith, him and the Apostle Peter. Now, history says that Paul had his head cut off by the Roman government, and then it's said that Peter was crucified upside down because, quote, he wasn't worthy to suffer in the same manner of his Savior. He wasn't worthy to be crucified upright. He wanted to be upside down. So, as we continue, what can we take from the history of these apostles? What can we glean tonight from the servants to his body, the church, Brother Paul and Peter and the rest? Allow me to show you now a quick general summary. We're going to start from Acts 1 onward concerning what we can get. And I want to focus in on three key words that we're going to see in Acts chapter 5. No matter if they were beaten, no matter if they suffered, no matter if they were persecuted, one thing you're going to see throughout this whole Acts, they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for Jesus. I want you to see that from this evening's study. So do me a favor now. Let's just go ahead and look together. You can follow along with me in your Bible. Look up to the screen. As you guys know, I like to use the screen when we got a lot to cover. So tonight, here we have it. Acts chapter 1 onward. Remember that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world according to the prophecies given in the Old Testament. He was buried and crucified. That's the manner, but he was buried. He rose again from the dead the third day because that's what the prophecy said. And it was that truth, it was that information that was required for men to be saved, both then and now. God saves sinners on the basis of their faith in that information concerning that man who he is. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah of Israel, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, God himself, who took our place, the guilty sinner, so he could redeem us from the wrath and judgment to come. So from Acts chapter 1 onward, he leads the disciples to a mount. He gives them his departing words, and then he ascends back to heaven to the right hand of the Father, and he tells them to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit that they're going to need before they can officially be sent forth to commission, on their commission to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, this is where the Holy Spirit is poured upon them. They are empowered, and they begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, like I said, mainly to a Jewish audience from all of these people that lived from under heaven, different parts of the earth. For example, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Phrygia, etc., etc. And they heard the wonderful works of God, as you can see in Acts 2:11. In Acts chapter 3 through 4, we see that people got saved. People were getting baptized, and persecution began to come to them because the Jewish Sanhedrin did not want to permit and let the spread of the message of the cross to go forth and essentially cause problems with the Roman government and then ultimately steal the hearts away from what they considered was the true religion, Judaism, without realizing that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of their law. So now turn with me to Acts chapter 5. I want you to see this. What can we glean from the history of these apostles as we get to the last chapter of the history of the Acts? Look with me now in Acts chapter number 5. Hope you have your Bible open and following along with me. Look at verse number 40. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40. Just after a Jewish Sanhedrin council came together to get a hold of some of the leaders, if you will, of this Christian sect in Jerusalem, here we have the record. The Bible says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want you to see three key things. One, they were beating. Two, they were rejoicing. Three, they suffered. But after going through all of those things in their life, did you guys see the last verse there? It didn't stop them from working for Jesus. It didn't hinder them from working for Jesus. It didn't slow them down. As a matter of fact, it motivated them to do even more. Tonight, as you can ask yourself for application, do I let tough times stop me from working for Jesus? Do I let the threats of man or my family members or my friends, do I let my workplace hinder me from ceasing to preach, or do I continue because I'm living in the fear of God and obedience to his commands to be a faithful disciple? In the back of your mind, I want you to think about that because I want you to learn from their example. I want you to see that those things did not hinder them. As a matter of fact, it motivated them to continue. Well, as we continue throughout the history, that's what you're going to see. People were getting saved. People were getting baptized. Christianity began to spread at first starting in Jerusalem, but difficult times were ahead. Satan was not going to just sit back and let souls be delivered from his grasp. As a matter of fact, he was going to begin to stir up opposition, mainly through Judaism, the Judaizers, and then eventually the power of Rome. But as you can see, church, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, Matthew chapter number 16. So now, on the way in Acts chapter 7, if you're following along now, look at verse number 59 in Acts chapter 7. The Bible says here, we have the first recorded martyr. What does that mean? Someone who died as a Christian. The Bible says in Acts 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen dies, but the Christian church doesn't stop. It keeps going. That's what I want you to see now, church. That's what I want you to see. Next chapter, chapter 8, verse 3 through 4. As for Saul, remember that? He made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Persecution didn't stop Christians from obeying Jesus' command to go into all the world. Persecution did not stop the apostles from discipling converts on the reality of what they're going to face for this man who they claim rose again from the dead. Remember what I told you, church, last Sundays ago? That when you got saved, I hope somebody told you that you're expected to commit the rest of your life to Jesus. I hope that when somebody led you to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I hope that they instructed you on what you were doing. That you're not only asking this man whom you've never seen to save your soul that you have never seen, but that you also are committing your life to his cause, which is working and spreading him throughout the whole world the best you can. First, starting here with your local church, and then assisting in getting the gospel to everyone else around you. I want you to see from the history of your church. Here is the history of our church, the body of Christ. Persecution, suffering, beatings did not prevent them from working. They kept working and they were motivated to do even more. Well, praise God, Acts 9, remember I told you, Saul gets saved. Paul, remember that? And his conversion led to peace now, finally, within the immediate area of Jerusalem, because that's where the majority of the persecution was taking place. He was the head, if you will, the leader of the Sanhedrin going out there. Remember, he got the letters. I want you to go down with me to Acts 9, verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. After Saul's conversion, he had to recover for a couple of days because, I mean, guys, he just saw a light that was brighter than the sun. Kind of messed up his eyesight. He needed to recover. He was fasting for 3 days. He was hungry. He gets some food. He gets baptized by Ananias. And what did he immediately start doing, guys? Preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to encourage you tonight, church, that after you got saved, you're right. You're not necessarily required to go to Bible school or Bible college to just tell somebody that Jesus is the Son of God, and if they trust him, they can be saved. You can do that too. But I will show you in a minute, you do got to have some fellowship. You got to have some discipleship. You got to have a home church from where you're serving from that's going to be a part of your Christian growth. I'll show you that. So as we come along, again, look at as we move on forward, I want to let you know and remind you of the theme. The theme that I'm going to present to you tonight is that working for Jesus Christ through hardships, difficulties, and persecutions kept the Christians rejoicing because their hearts did not leave him. And since they were willing to follow him, Jesus kept their hearts on him. So again, what is tonight's theme as we start Acts chapter 28? Working for Jesus Christ through hardships, difficulties, persecutions, Christ kept the early Christians rejoicing because their hearts did not leave him. And since they were willing to keep their hearts on him, Christ kept their heart as well on him. Christ gave him the love of the Father, John 14 through 16. So let's go down in Acts chapter 9 a little bit more in our overview. Go with me now to verse number 27. The Bible says here that Barnabas took him, talking about Paul, and brought him to these apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, and so forth. Keep going down to 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Can I tell you something, church? The Bible says that Saul, when he went to Jerusalem, he fellowshiped with the apostles. He had a rapport with the apostles, and they were working together. But he did not stop preaching Jesus Christ. And I want you to see now that the churches had rest because of one man's salvation. But notice, the churches were all edified. Why? Can you look up there now? Look at verse 31, church. Because they were walking in the what? Fear of the Lord. And they had the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Brother and sister, can I tell you something? The way that this church is going to grow is when we're all walking together in the fear of the Lord, not just some of us, because they were all doing it together. So tonight, guys, as you guys know, this church, it's not a one-man thing. It's not a Pastor Carlos only. It's a church effort. All of you tonight, we're all required to do this together. All right, Acts 10, moving onward. Gentiles are becoming more prevalent in being saved, just like the Jews. Peter, remember, he leads Cornelius and his household to saving faith. And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them before they get water baptized. We know they spoke in tongues, but most likely it was Hebrew for Peter to understand it. And that's just to also inform you when you do go out in the streets and one wants to debate with you and discuss with you concerning Holy Spirit baptism and all that silly jargon, you tell them people got saved before water baptism. It has nothing to do with it. Acts 2, they were saved before they were water baptized. That's going to always be the principal pattern. Acts chapter 11. Go down all the way with me now to verse number 25. Here we have the name of the representatives of the founder of the New Testament church. What are we called? Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Not Baptists, not Methodists, not Pentecostals, not Charismatics, not Catholics. They were called Christians. Tonight, you are a Christian. Your outward practical conduct is in alignment with your church's methodology as a Baptist. What does that mean? We baptize believers. Basic difference. But you're a Christian. Just know that. You identify yourself as a born-again Christian. That's where we get that root from. Go all the way down now to verse number 29. The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Side nugget. New Testament financial giving initially was what? To help out poor Christians. Not tithing. It was churches coming together willingly to support who? Poor churches. Are you seeing that now? So just be careful out there when you see those brothers going a little hardcore. Si no das tu diezmo, Dios te. And he's going to tell you something. Nah, brother. I know my Bible, amen. And I hope that that motivates you, because in grace, you can give above and beyond. That's the beauty. Acts 12. Remember, we're just doing a quick overview. Acts 12. James, the brother of John, unfortunately, he's killed. But the work still continues. The church doesn't stop. They keep going. Go down with me to verse 24 through 25. The word of God, what church? Grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So guys, persecution, beatings, martyrdom did not stop the apostles and their disciples from preaching Jesus Christ. House to house, publicly, it didn't hinder them. It motivated them. Why? Because since their heart was on Jesus, Jesus kept their heart on the Father. And the Father and the Son kept their heart on Him, and they were rejoicing. They had this supernatural unction to keep going and not let them stop. Church, I hope tonight you can be motivated by their history. Acts 13, moving forward now, generally all the way through Acts 21. You're not necessarily going to see now a lot of references to Peter and the other apostles. Generally now, from the remaining of the book of Acts, the focus and highlight is the Apostle Paul's ministry and his missionary work. The main focus shifts to Paul's missionary work, his trips, and him working for Jesus. But it's the same gospel taught by Jesus, given initially to the apostles from Acts 2 onwards, because I'm going to show you two different things. One, whenever they encountered Jews, here's how they presented the gospel. And then two, whenever they encountered Gentiles, here's how they presented the gospel. Let me show you that now. So I hope you're paying attention. Come with me now to Acts chapter 13 with your Bible. Look in verse number 30. Acts chapter 13, read with me now in verse number 30. There is a difference when Gentiles were presented with the gospel and then Jews. Why? Because remember, the law was given to who? Israel, not to the Gentiles. So Israel had the oracles, they had the prophets, they had the law, they had revelation. That is what was their advantage, Romans 3:1. The Gentiles, what did they have? A conscience, the law written in their hearts. So Paul or the apostles, they would appeal to, hey guys, there's a creator up there. Hey, you know that food you're eating? Hey, our God gave you that food. Well, let's tell you now, you know that. And so that's how they go up. Let me show you now the two differences. One, here is the base model of the apostles presenting the gospel to Jews. Look at verse 30. Paul's preaching to Jews in a synagogue. Hope you're reading now. The Bible says here, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, again, that's generally a reference to who? Abraham, say with me now. Go ahead. Isaac, Jacob, there you go. So again, Jewish context. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Now listen very carefully. Here is a Jewish apostle witnessing to Jews. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Philippians chapter 3. He told you in his personal testimony, he knew the law. He told you he was the one who kept best the law by the Holy Spirit affirming that testimony. But when he encountered Jesus Christ, he understood one thing. He was a blasphemer, 1 Timothy 1. Why? Because he was persecuting the church of God. He was denying that Jesus was the Christ. And he understood that whatsoever things he gained concerning the knowledge of the law, he counted it as dung, because it could not justify him. Now look at verse number 40. What is he telling these Hebrews? Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So guys, the way that Paul presented the gospel to these Hebrews is the exact same manner how he approaches Jews everywhere he goes. The same thing with Peter in Acts chapter 2. They quoted King David. They quoted the same prophets concerning Jesus, who God raised from the dead, because our God promised our fathers way back there. That's how he would redeem us. It would be through the Messiah that we would receive full justification. So on what basis do the apostles build their understanding of the gospel? Through the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ gave them the understanding. Okay, now I hope you're following along. In Acts chapter 14, let me just show you there quickly. Acts 14, go with me now real quick. Look at here. Let me give you an example of how they would approach Gentiles. Look with me in Acts 14. Starting here in verses, let's see here in verse number 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So they just thought that they were the gods of Lycaonia. They thought they were the gods, you know, the Roman gods come down in the flesh because of miracles. And these Gentiles, look at what it says in verse 13. They were about to offer sacrifice with the people. And when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should what? Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and give us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with good and gladness. Guys, not one reference to what? The fathers. Not one reference to, as it's said in the prophets. It is the apostles appealing to the conscience of that Gentile. You know there's a God. So since they already have a foundation of their own religion offering sacrifice to whatever they're believing in that time, hey, you know that? There is one God. And this God who we're presenting to you, he's the actual creator of all those things that you guys are attributing to those gods. But we are preaching to you that you should turn and trust in this God. So guys, biblical evangelism requires preaching repentance. But what does it mean? To turn from that and then to turn to him. That's all it means. It's changing one's mind from trusting in that to trusting in Jesus Christ. That's all it is. So as you guys can see, that's how they would approach Gentiles. But what happened? Keep reading along. Verse number 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. What were the three key words that I told you about earlier in church? Beaten, rejoicing, suffering, they ceased not to teach and preach. Paul was beaten with rocks. They dragged his body out of the city. When they left, the brothers were right there praying for him. He got right back up. He went right back in there. And what does it say in verse number 21? When they had preached the gospel to that city, they returned again. It didn't stop them. The work continued. So, brother and sister, can I just ask you one question in your heart? You don't have to answer out loud. What is stopping you from working for Jesus? What is your excuse compared to what they went through? And if you're not being beaten today for the faith, if you're not being stoned today for the faith, if you're not being persecuted and you're suffering for the gospel, you should not cease to teach and preach. As a matter of fact, you should be that much more motivated. So what can we learn from the history of our apostles? Verse 22, when they went back to the cities, look at now, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Church, that's why I'm telling you, when you first got saved, I hope they told you and I hope they instructed you, there will be difficult times ahead. You're going to want to feel like giving up on Jesus. You're going to want to feel like not reading your Bible. You're going to want to feel like not going to church anymore. You're going to want to feel like not doing anything for God. Because getting saved doesn't stop the world. Getting saved doesn't hinder Satan and his devilish works that is going to be persecuting you from wanting to change your life for Jesus. I hope that they told you that you're going to have to continue in the faith. I hope that they told you that you're going to go through some tribulation and some trials, but that's a part of it. I hope they instructed you that after you got saved, you're going to have to give up some things for Jesus. You're going to have to restructure your life for Jesus. Church becomes a priority now for Jesus. Living for Jesus becomes a priority. Evangelism becomes a priority. Giving becomes a priority. I hope they told you that. And if they didn't, then guys, here's the pastor now that God put in your life that is instructing you now, confirming your soul and letting you know, our apostles taught us this. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is our life. We must. How many of you guys believe that you must be born again? Anybody? You must be born again? So then you must go through some things before you get to heaven. How about that? Anybody here? Okay. We must. How many of you guys are committed to Jesus? Anybody here committed? How many of you guys want to be like the apostles in the book of Acts? Raise your hand. Anybody? You guys want to be faithful like them? Anybody? Only got a few. Okay. I'm going to hold you accountable now. Acts 22. All the way now through Acts 28. Paul's last days of free will traveling for evangelism because of his persecution from the Jews in Jerusalem. So when you guys go through the history of your Acts again, we're already there now. But this is where his trial begins on his way to Rome in Acts 22 onward. His persecution there in Jerusalem from the Jews, which incited the Roman government to get involved, whose involvement Paul besought to appeal to the highest court of the land. Remember, in Acts 25, before the court, he said in verse number 11 that he appeals to Caesar. But on his way to Rome, Paul did not stop working for Jesus. He witnessed through his physical pain. He witnessed through his physical hurts. He witnessed through the threats. Why? Because of his faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus proved to him that he was God. And if Jesus is God and he saved his soul and he is no longer on his way to hell, but he's going to go to heaven, then Paul is no longer operating off of fear, but of power. Let me share with you now a couple of verses. Turn your Bible with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Some of you have told me. Some of you have shared with my wife. I get afraid sometimes, and that's all right. Get a little emotional sometimes. That's all right. Sometimes I don't know how to, Brother Carlos. Sometimes, Sister Katie, I just don't know the words. I don't got it. But that's why you come to church, to be reminded, to be stirred, and to be admonished and taught that you can. Because Christ, here's what he gave you. Are you ready? 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, brother, when you entertain, I don't feel like I can, Brother Carlos. You're going contrary to the gospel. Sister, when you give us an excuse of why you feel like you can't, you're going contrary to the gospel. Because the gospel says you can. Why? Because God gave you the ability. Anybody out there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I shared this with Brother Giovanni a couple of weeks ago. We were encouraging each other in the scriptures. I want you to see from the history of the apostles themselves, guys, that nothing hindered them. The only reason why they were slowed down is because the man was beaten on the floor. The only reason why they were slowed down is because Satan was busy getting some other people, unbelievers, to get at him. But when they could, they did their best to stay busy serving Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. Anybody here ever felt like wearied? You got some pain going on? In watchings often, can't get sleep, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. But did that stop Paul from going to church? Did that stop Paul from soul winning? Did that stop Paul from caring about people who he's discipled and wanting to keep instructing to keep on going on? Are you ready? Look at verse 28. Beside those things that are without, you know, everything he went through on the outside, look at what your Bible says. Look, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So while Paul was going through those difficulties, while the apostles were suffering for the name of Jesus, they were rejoicing. They counted it worthy that God thought within them, wow, we could go through this for Jesus. But through everything that they went through, whether it was issues or problems with family, friends, culture, they just had a love for churches to keep them going, to keep them strong, not giving up, even though others would give up on them. I have a question for you. Let me share with you one more verse, and then I have a question for you. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and then I'll have a question for you. I'm going to go a little over time, guys. Just forbear with me. A little over time. It's all right. A little over time. Philippians chapter 4. Look with me now in verse number 11. Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, low times in life. I know how to abound, high times in life. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I have a question, brother and sister. Could it be the reason why some of you are not completely sold out for the cause of Christ is because you haven't learned true contentment in Christ? Could it be a lack of trust? Maybe some of you have financial reasons, family reasons, emotional reasons that are holding you back from getting all in your church today. Could it be that once you show God and prove to Him that Jesus truly does mean so much more to you than those distractions, then that's when you'll learn what Paul learned, to be content? Brothers, can I remind you of something? Paul worked. Remember, he worked with his hands, he told us. And as a matter of fact, he told Christians later on that if nobody would work with their hands, they shouldn't eat. So Paul had a family. Paul had a job. But guys, he balanced it. He structured it to prioritize Jesus. So if he can do it, so can you. I want to leave you with a couple of servants, and then we'll go back to Acts 28 and we'll finish up here. Servants that are named in the New Testament. Paul, Romans 1, verse 1. Turn with me to Romans 16, though. Let me touch on this real fast, and then we'll keep reading. I'm just naming you servants that are named in your Bible. Romans 16, verse 1. By the way, sisters can do a great job in a church. Women, you guys have so much capacity, so much compassion, so much ideas. Women can be such a benefit to the church if they want to be. Look with me now, Romans 16, 1, the Bible says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the," what? "Church," which is where? At Cenchrea. Can I just tell you this in love, ladies? You guys can be a great servant, but biblically, where is your home church? If this is your home church, then according to God, you're a servant of that church. Brothers, we are a servant of this church. There's nothing wrong with being a help to the church in Rome when you have a letter to send, because Phoebe was the one that was going to be used by Paul to take this letter. There's nothing wrong with being a help to another church. But guys, in love, can I tell you something? Where is your home church? And if this is your home church, then like Phoebe, then serve at your home church. Get all in at your home church. And guys, there's nothing wrong. Like I said, all these different disciples, they were a help and a benefit to other churches. And then they had their home church where they were serving and wholeheartedly. So in love, I just want to remind you, guys, this should be your priority as it was for these disciples. Next, Paul and Timothy. They were servants, Philippians 1:1. Epaphras, he was a servant, Colossians 4:12. James, remember the half-brother of Jesus? He was a servant, James 1:1. And then Peter. Peter was a servant, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Why do I incorporate that before we come to a close? Because the work doesn't stop. All these great men and women were disciples of Jesus Christ. They had a home church, and wherever they had a home church, they served in. They gave of their finances to support the need of other brethren who were poor, and then they would go forth to labor in evangelism, in ceasing not to preach and teach Jesus Christ door to door, house to house, and both publicly. And they'd come back and keep growing and keep growing. The church doesn't stop working. So in Acts 28, as you guys make your way back there, I want to go all the way to the end of Acts 28. Look it with me now. Acts chapter 28, and we're going to close. Go all the way down now with me to Acts chapter 28. What are the last things the Holy Spirit wanted you to learn about your history? Your history as a Christian. Because remember, we are part of the body of Christ. We're not talking about Baptist history. We're not talking about Pentecostal history. We're not talking about any titles that the brethren give today. We're talking about the history of Christianity. The history of the members of the body of Christ when they just started getting a thing going. What is your history? Verse number 30, Acts 28. We're almost done. The Bible says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Period. That's it. Luke, what happened after that? Luke, what happened to Paul? Luke, when did Paul die? Holy Spirit didn't want you to know that. Why? Because the church is not dead. The disciples of Christ are still alive, operating and working and serving till we speak right now. It still continues. You and I are extensions of the work of Christ through his apostles, through their disciple converts. Over time, as Christianity spread, somebody got saved, somebody got saved, somebody got saved, and then eventually, somebody got saved in your life, and now you're saved, and now you're continuing the work. But are you working? And if not, then what's holding you back? I want to leave you with these last notes. The word preach, or variations of it like past tense, preached, ED, or preaching, ING, appears 38 times in the book of Acts. The kingdom of God terminology appears 7 times in 7 verses. Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of God to the initial 120 disciples in Acts chapter 1. Philip preached the kingdom of God to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. Barnabas and Paul preached to the Gentiles back there in Acts chapter 14. Paul preached the kingdom of God in Acts 19 to those unregenerate Jews. Paul reminded them that he taught the Ephesians of the kingdom of God, Acts 20. But let me leave you with these notes. I want you to read this one more time. Look at what it says. Verse 31, Paul, by the grace of God, the Roman government, they gave him liberty. So, man, anybody could come to Paul's little prison house. They could fellowship. They could learn the word of God. They can be taught. He couldn't leave, but they can come to him. Praise God. 2 years. But what did he preach? He preached the kingdom of God and teachings those things which concern who? The Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Oh my goodness, is this not such a great verse? Go back earlier. I missed one verse. Look at verse number 23. When they had appointed him a day, those are the Hebrews that he had appealed to come fellowship to see if they heard word of what the Jews said in Jerusalem. He just wanted to see if these Jews up here in Rome heard anything. There came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, now listen, and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the what? Law of Moses, and out of the prophets from morning till evening. So can I leave you with this? What is the kingdom of God then? Whom does it concern? One man, Jesus Christ. But from where? Did you guys read that carefully? The law of Moses. You're telling me that you could preach the kingdom of God from Genesis? That's what Paul did. Deuteronomy? That's what Paul did. Exodus? Leviticus? Numbers? You're telling me that it's possible to preach the kingdom of God from the prophets? Isaiah? Like chapter 52, chapter 53, chapter 55, Isaiah 11, like Isaiah 66? What about Ezekiel 33? What about Daniel chapter 7, chapter 9? What about Nahum, Amos, Habakkuk, the Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 69, Psalm 103? Oh, you're telling me he had the Old Testament available to him and he was preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God from that? That's right. Be careful Christian friend, with the Paul-only crowd, hyper-dispensationalists who are ignorant, who want to promote that only Paul was given this mystery because the Holy Spirit corrects man's systems if you study and trust this book. Paul preached the kingdom of God from the Old Testament. And when he presented that to the Jews, what was the result? Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, if you trust him, you could be justified, you can be saved, you could be redeemed from which that law could never do for you. You just got to ask him. Some believed and some didn't. And guys, as I come to a close, that's what you are doing today. What is Christianity? It is evangelistic. It is an outward faith. It is once you get into this thing, you're exposed to him. Man, God saves you. He delivers you from some habits. He continues to deliver you. Can I get an amen, anybody out there? And then as you're getting stronger in him and you're learning more Bible, you're going out there and you're telling the world this is who Jesus Christ is. And you can show them from the Old Testament and you can show them from the New Testament. But in the end of the day, some are going to believe you, some won't. But what is your duty? Ceasing not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ daily. I mean, all of us, we can't do it daily, but you understand when you can. You have your home church, you're a servant at your home church, and then your little home church begins to send you out and you guys begin to do some ministry work, and then you come back, get refreshed, and you get beat up out there, but you come back and get prayed on, and you go through some things in family and life, but you come back and remember, man, this is my true eternal family over here. And the work doesn't stop because Jesus is alive, the church is still living, and you are now a part of this history that is not going to finish until the rapture. So tonight, what is the end of your Acts history for application? What is going to go down in the record books of your history when you stand before Jesus Christ for that judgment seat? What is going to go down? What is going to be written of your name according to what you did with this faith that was handed down, preserved, and now you're a part of it? You are a part of this history that doesn't end, friend. It continues with you. So, friend, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, a lover of Jesus and his disciples, then prove it to him by ceasing not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray that the saints heard what they needed to hear from your Holy Spirit, taking the word of God and delivering it to their spirit how they needed to hear. God, tonight we saw a lot of history of our family in the Lord. We know they're in glory now, but we saw a lot of history. We saw a lot of history of Christian men and women who rejoiced when they suffered for Jesus, who rejoiced when they were beaten for Jesus, who rejoiced when they were persecuted for Jesus, who rejoiced when a great man who was once an opposer got saved and they had peace. God, I look to the history of the Acts, God, and I have no excuse. I'm convicted, God. I'm not a man that is being beaten. I'm not a man being persecuted here in my city. I'm a man who has ability, finances, to be a part of this great work that you started over 2,000 years ago, how you are continuing the history of the Acts of the Apostles through their teaching, the scriptures preserved, and here we are, their disciples, many, many years later, that we too can cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But God, what we need is desire. Lord, what our members need is desire, is a fire to be kindled, just a supernatural, if you will, God, just giving us that emotional drive, that spiritual drive, God, to be willing to be the best church member we can be and to be the best soul winner we can be for your glory. God, I'm looking forward to who you have in store for us to reach. But God, we need you to reach us again and again when we find ourselves in seasons of emotional difficulties and family difficulties and financial difficulties, God, when life tries to get us distracted. Lord, we remember tonight from Paul's example how he wasn't distracted. He still had a care for churches even though he was going through a lot of things. So tonight, Father, would tonight's study bring comfort to our members that they can keep going regardless through the hurts, regardless of the pains. They can keep serving Jesus and working for Jesus because you gave them a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And now that we have the Bible intact, we have it whole, preserved, my God, we have the mind of God available to us to keep us going. So, Father, feed your children tonight. Strengthen your children. And tonight, God, help us to take what we need from this message to stir us to work for you, for those who are available tomorrow to work for you, and then come in this Saturday to work for you, and to the rest of our life, till the rapture happens. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you all. Hope and pray you have a great rest of your night. We're here for fellowship, and the Lord bless you guys. Amen.